Welcome to the highest road, a path that leads from within our own being, where each one of us has a direct and living connection to Source or God. The highest road, the courage to claim our power and to take responsibility for our choices. We live in an interconnected universe. Every loving thought we think, every step we take in the direction of self-empowerment and spiritual integrity, not only moves us forward, but improves the world at large for everyone. The world is as we are.
Hey everyone, it's Mac and Rose here for this episode of the Highest Road Podcast. Today we're going to be talking about free will, probably one of the most powerful tools we have in our spiritual toolbox. It's our greatest gift when we remember to use it. There are so many aspects to this spiritual gift, and we'll be talking about some today.
Yes, Mac. And when I think about free will, when I was thinking about it during the week, I kept coming back to being willing to acknowledge the power of our thoughts and the power we have to choose. You know, it's very easy to blame the outer world for our perceived lack of freedom and to blame other people when we feel we can't be free or we can't express ourselves freely, or even when we blame other people for how we're feeling. And freedom, real freedom, I feel it goes hand in hand with taking responsibility for who we are and for our choices. And again, as some of the other things we've talked about, it isn't something that we can suddenly decide to do and then suddenly we're fully living in a responsible way. I think it's a gradual process of beginning more and more to make more empowered and conscious choices day by day. And gradually, it's like flexing our muscles and beginning to really experience that there is a connection between the way we think, the way we act, and how we experience the world.
Yeah, Rose, I agree it's a bit of a process. There certainly have been times when I felt myself being stuck in a relationship or in a job. And in those times, I was stuck in the past. I was looking in the rearview mirror, rehashing everything that's gone before. And at some point, there usually was an awakening when I realized I don't have to be stuck in this situation. It's like a light bulb goes off in your brain. Then we can make a different choice and say, I'm not doing this anymore, and bring in more tools in our spiritual toolbox, such as meditation and mindfulness. And then we can usually see a clear path forward.
Yeah, I do think it's a gradual process because, you know, we are in an environment and a culture where there's a lot of credence and indeed a lot of currency given to the concept of it being a victim. Or to people say this is a prison planet or blaming everything on the past. And, you know, I think one of the core aspects of coming into a more spiritually mature way of being is to be willing to make that connection between the inner and the outer. And as you say, it can happen gradually. And it's sometimes even very small things. I mean, it may be too much for us to initially start to say, well, I'm responsible for everything that happens in my environment or that I've co-created everything in my world. But we can start with small things. And sometimes that's even, as you say, being mindful of patterns, like you say, in relationships, or you begin to realize that the same pattern has occurred either in a romantic relationship or in business relationships or in friendships. And, you know, certainly when I was younger, I would be saying, why does this always happen to me? And I would assume that it was happening to me and I had nothing to do with it. And I began to feel something, maybe it's my higher intelligence or whatever, saying to me, well, maybe you're happening to it, which was an interesting way of looking at it. For right? Sure. Rather than it happening to me, am I happening to it? Because if I'm the common denominator in all of these experiences, then is it something to do with me? And I think that why that can be very difficult initially to embrace is that the default reaction for many of us can be then to blame ourselves or to be hard on ourselves and to use it as another stick to beat ourselves. oh, look, I did this, I created this, so there's something even more wrong with me than I thought before. Whereas it's beginning to see it as a key to liberation. And it's actually almost like a victory if I can realize, gosh, there's a connection between how I'm behaving and thinking and how the world unfolds in front of me. And sometimes it can be very, very small insights initially, and being willing to notice those and not to beat ourselves up about it.
The world outside of ourselves is a co-creation. But just because it's a co-creation, it doesn't mean we're responsible for everything out there. And we can't change everything out there. The only thing we can change is ourselves and how we respond to the world outside of ourselves.
I mean, you can always rely on Shakespeare for a quote. And in one of his plays, there's nothing good or bad, but thinking makes it so. And there's another line, and I think it's from Hamlet, where it says, your thoughts have more power than kings to compel you. Your thoughts have more power than kings to compel you. And then there's nothing good or bad, but thinking makes it so. So it's how we approach something and how we view it. We have free will choice there, no matter what's happening.
It might be worth mentioning here just how important free will is. It is sacred in spiritual circles. There's a line in the Course in Miracles that states not even God would go against someone's free will choice.
Yeah, I can remember reading that in the Course, and it's like that if God or divine interfered with our free will, it would actually be demeaning us and disrespecting our capacity to choose, and it would actually be controlling us in a way that would not be in accordance with divine free will. Because in a sense, we are free to go against what we think of as love or kindness or fairness or whatever. We have the free will to choose to go against even our highest ideals. And then we also have the freedom to experience the consequences of those actions and to learn from them. So part for me of increasing my sense of free will is beginning to see the world. And it for me, it was gradual. Initially, it was a theory, and then more and more beginning to see the world and my life, not as a prison, but as a classroom where I'm learning about cause and effect and seeing the connection between maybe my thoughts and attitudes and what I see in the world around me and what I experience. And I think you're right in saying that we're not responsible for everything out there for the so-called good or bad, but we are certainly responsible for how we react to it or how we look at it.
Anytime that I feel like I'm not at my best self or feeling down, I usually sit myself down and take a look at what's going on. And I ask myself, what's the lesson? Because there usually is a lesson when I'm feeling out of sorts emotionally. And if I get the lesson, great. But if not, I can still, at any given time, I have the ability to stop that feeling and make another choice. That's my power and that's my gift.
I mean, again, it's an achievement if we're noticing it a little bit more all the time. That in itself is an achievement because, again, it's like strengthening our choice muscles. And we don't always do it, but then we catch ourselves a bit faster, I think. And it's certainly been my experience that as you become more sensitized to when you are out of alignment and you're getting to your blaming and your victim mode and you're feeling sorry for yourself and poor me, that I certainly know, I think I notice it more quickly than I might have, say, 20 years ago. It's like we become more fine-tuned, like an instrument or like a virtuoso, hopefully we'll become virtuoso free willers, that it's like a virtuoso musician, guitarist will notice when the guitar goes a little bit out of tune, they'll notice it straight away and they'll bring it back into tune. And I think that we gradually more and more, as we become more mindful and willing to be mindful, we begin to see the connections between our inner thoughts and what goes around us. We pick it up more quickly.
I think that the universe helps that along as well. There's a law of attraction to consider in this discussion as well. And that basically says that our thoughts and feelings create a frequency or a vibration, which is sent out to the universe. The universe then responds to this signal by attracting experiences and people and situations that match this frequency. So focusing on positive thoughts and feelings will attract more of that in our life. On the other hand, if we focus on negative thoughts and feelings, we will attract those kind of outcomes as well. And when we see what the universe is returning to us and we don't like it, it might be time to change our thinking and make some different choices.
And when I was thinking about this during the week, I just came across a quote that's attributed to Einstein. And he says that the most important decision we make is whether we believe in a friendly or a hostile universe. From that one decision, all others spring. And I think the way we're both thinking about free will is when we begin to see that the universe or the consciousness or whatever we want to call it, beginning to see it as benevolent rather than as hostile or threatening. And so we begin to see that, as you say, what can I learn from this? As I was saying earlier, this is my classroom and this is one of my lessons. And we often don't learn. I think we're perverse creatures, human nature sometimes, where we don't always learn when things are easy. We just coast along. And I think it's not that we have to find things difficult, but there's something about finding something difficult or being triggered by something that acts as a catalyst. And in the early stages of growth, it's the trigger reaction or the knee-jerk reaction is to find somebody to blame. And we see this, you know, we see this in the world. If something happens, first thing is people try to find who's to blame for this. And there's almost a kind of a comfort in finding the bad guy. But I think as we become a little bit more sensitized to the dynamic of the inner and the outer, we are more willing, in a sense, to see that maybe there is a connection between my thoughts and what's going on, and not to make it as something to be hard with on myself with, to actually begin to be glad to find the reason for us being that bit out of tune and being able to do something about it.
It can be a matter of looking at who's driving the bus. Are these old programs that are driving my behavior and can I work to change them? You know, go deep and look within and ask for help. Ask for help in finding that lesson. Remember that the universe respects our free will and where we are. If you need help, be sure and ask for it. But even if the lesson is not crystal clear, we can still change our behavior and our thoughts. Bring conscious awareness into our choices and use those spiritual tools, and we can make a change.
And I agree with what you're saying there about not having to find the cause, especially when we think of trying to find the cause in terms of a historical event, for example, you know, a particular event in the past to justify how we're feeling now. Because, and again, that's a bit more like a sort of a victim mentality. We're all works in progress with this. When you begin to realize that, for example, for me myself, that I am the common denominator of all of these issues that I'm experiencing. And therefore, they are symbols for something that's within me rather than the cause. They're kind of an outpicturing. I don't think finding historically an incident that justifies how I'm feeling in the moment, that can help, but it can be very easy then to put the blame on that and abdicate responsibility.
Even if we don't get an answer that this is coming from an event in our past, that event was a co-creation, and we have a responsibility in that event. We can't play the victim card anymore. Not anymore. We know too much.
I mean, we can certainly have compassion for any suffering we felt when we were in the victim mentality.
Sure.
And when we are. I think compassion is very important. Otherwise, it's another thing to chastise ourselves about, and it actually pushes the victim more underground, and it'll come out in another guise. But, you know, I mean, I think many people now would agree, almost like, again, to come back with Shakespeare when he said that all the world's a stage and all the men and women are merely players. And I think many of us accept that in theory, that we are the directors of our own script, our own movie, if you like. We are the directors and we're also the lead actors. I think gradually the whole free will thing comes in, where we begin to realize that ultimately it's an all or nothing proposition. We can't be sometimes the directors and then other times not the directors. If we're really subscribing, which I think many of our listeners would subscribe to, the idea that we are the co-creators of our script, or we are the writers of our script, or whatever way we want to call it. It's my play, it's my drama, and I've enrolled all the actors in my drama. Then my free will is the fact that I am at cause in that. I am the motivator behind the film and the script that I am acting in. And therefore, one could think of it then is that the players or the actors that I've chosen to co-create this drama with me are playing roles. We're playing roles for each other, actually. And so I can't blame them, just as if you were going to a real life theater, or indeed watching a movie. And I think it's more obvious when you go to a live theater, but indeed watching a movie, that the people in the movie, especially the one that not the main character, but all the others around the person, that those characters, we know on one level they're actors, and we're not blaming them for what they do, even if they're the bad guy, even if he's a murderer. We realize he's playing a role in the main character's life. And so when we're directing our own drama and choosing the people to play the drama with us, they're there because of something in us that either wants them or needs them to be in our life. And it comes back then to the thing of free will, that we have chosen on some level to play out this drama.
It all comes back to choice. All of this on some level is our choice. The goal is to bring more conscious awareness into our choices. There is responsibility in making these choices. These choices have consequences. Our choices can't interfere with the will of another.
And, you know, when you say that, it just reminds me, too, that when we set the intention to become free of this type of conditioning, which is ultimately our own self-conditioning, we can actually, sometimes you can almost be horrified when you realize the extent to which you're not acknowledging the free will of others. Whereas before, you'd just, well, not you, but me, I'm talking about myself, that, you know, I begin to realize, my God, I didn't sort of allow for that person's free will. Or I interfered, or I thought I was helping, but I was actually interfering. And you become much more sensitive to how we can intrude on other people's space. And in that sense, violating their free will, even gossiping about people or criticizing them or giving unsolicited advice, very well intended, but it can be very interfering and very intrusive. And often how we learn that is when we're at the receiving end of that. Because I wasn't even fully aware of that until, if something going on in your life and then you get the people ringing, well, what you should do is, and they're telling you what's wrong with what you're doing. It's not helping, right? And so sometimes when we are at the receiving end of people seeming to interfere with our free will and we find ourselves getting annoyed with it or getting triggered by it, that's a really good opportunity to see, you know, am I doing this to somebody else? Because we can't get free in our own expression of free will if we're not allowing for other people's free will as well. And respecting them enough, it's like what you said there, the spirit or source won't interfere with anybody's free will, because that's the denying their sovereignty.
I have an example of a recent choice and shift that I made. Rose is aware of this situation. About 10 years ago, I was involved in two businesses, both spiritual in nature. Two of the people involved were a married couple. Well, their marriage dissolved, and so did the businesses, but they did not dissolve peacefully. There was a lot of not-so-spiritual behavior on everybody's part, myself included. I came to be at peace with most of the people involved, except for one. Flash forward 10 years, and my fields were bristling every time I heard his name or anything even close to it. So just a few months ago, I sat myself down and told myself how ridiculous it was to be still feeling this way after all this time. And I made a conscious choice to stop. I asked for help. I asked for help in healing my feelings, and now I'm feeling a lot more neutral to that person.
It's a very good example, Mac. And you know, sometimes I found the ones that I find harder to let go of can not always be the ones who did the most obvious hurts or the most obvious transgressions. Sometimes it's something relatively minor that for somehow it just nags at you. And you know, like you said, like you get to the point where you realize, if I'm holding on to this, for one thing, I'm punishing myself for whatever's going on. Because if I'm holding on to this resentment, as I think it was Buddha said, that holding on to anger or resentment is like taking poison and expecting your enemy to die. And so we're actually imprisoning ourselves to a toxic kind of relationship with ourselves, if nothing else, by holding on to grievances and old stories. So one of the things of free will is to have the courage to be able to let go. And you know, we can be very addicted to those old stories because they're like a comfortable pair of old slippers, and they're very comfortable, and we can get into the groove of the victimhood or the story, and we can get a lot of currency out of it. And often in social groups, if you listen to conversations, quite often it's the victim who's got the loudest voice who takes over the conversation, because there's a lot of street cred given to it in our culture. But to be able to step back and say, you know, I don't want to punish myself for this anymore, apart from the person, because I'm very fortunate to be working with some people, some groups and people with radical forgiveness, which is the coaching work I do. And this always requires people to be willing to look at the possibility. They don't have to believe it intellectually, but be willing to look at the possibility that there may be something else playing out when they're annoyed or upset with somebody. And one of the things the processes bring us through is to see, okay, I'm really mad at this person for what they did 5 years ago, last week, 20 years ago. I'm really mad at it. And then you begin to see, well, has this played out in other areas of your life? Has a similar story played out with other people? And that's one of the first steps in beginning to realize it's not really about the other person, but it's about something in me. If I can trace that the same sort of, even with you with that story you're talking about, like, you know, has a similar dynamic occurred in other circumstances? And if you begin to realize that a few times a similar story has played out with different actors, then you can begin to see, well, it's not really about those people. But it does take a little bit of courage, and part of you can squirm at it. And at that point, there's the acknowledgement that the person is mirroring something to me. And the phrase is used, if you spot it, you've got it. But it's done in a very loving way. It helps to become free of that dynamic, that sort of tussle that we get into with people when our minds are. I mean, I know sometimes when I've been out walking, and I catch myself much faster now, and I can go a mile and I'll have regurgitating the same old stories and catching myself and dramatizing it and imagining all sorts of woes befalling my so-called adversary. And I'm sure we've all done that too, right?
Put it on the big screen with Technicolor and sense around sound.
And imagine how many people are doing the same with me.
Yep.
So I freedom, there's an awful lot in it, if just being willing to be responsible without blame, without guilt.
Great stuff, Rose. I think that releasing all that guilt and blame is the essence of freedom. I think we covered a lot about what we wanted to talk about today. I think maybe to sum it up, free will is an essential part of our spiritual growth and development. It enables us to take responsibility and ownership of our lives, which is truly the highest road. A true free will choice allows us to bring conscious choice and spiritual inner wisdom, and that helps us make choices that reflect our spiritual goals, rather than just focusing on old programs in the past that are no longer who we are. There's a responsibility in using free will wisely, and the more responsible we become, the more empowered we become. When we recognize we can use free will as a spiritual tool, we create a much more peaceful walk on the highest road. Thank you for listening, everyone. Namaste. You've been listening to the Highest Road Podcast. You can contact us at highestroadpodcast@gmail.com. Please visit us at www.thehighestroad.com for related articles, tools, and information. We welcome questions and your feedback.